This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And today we are joined here in the remote Bad Ideas mobile. I don't know what to even call this. Zoom studio in which we live our lives now.
A cloud layer.
Wherever it is, we are joined by a very, very special guest star. We are super excited to have them here with us. It is the right honorable host of the La Mezcla podcast. It's Adrian Burke. How are you doing today, sir?
Yo, what's up? Thank you so much for having me.
Are you kidding? Thank you for being delighted on the show.
Awesome to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Before we jump into kind of like all the bad ideas, let's talk about a good idea, which is listening to your show. Do you want to tell folks at home what La Mezcla is?
Yeah, I mean, I so appreciate you saying that it's a good idea because this is what I spend my every waking moment trying to convince people. But so I am the host and creator of this show. It's called La Mezcla. It's a podcast slash, you know, before the world collapsed, it was a very fun live show that I would have loved to invite you all to. But basically, each episode, it's a guest-focused interview show. Each episode, I bring on a different, either mixed-race, multicultural, or first-generation American creative. Or increasingly, I've been getting like people in other fields, but it's been mostly artists who are sort of in my scene up to this point. And we talk about their upbringing, their heritage, and the ways their intersecting identities have affected their art, basically. And we like talk a lot of shit and make fun of people. It's a fun time. It's a fun time.
That's one of the cornerstones of podcasting. You got it.
It's in the contract. It's in the contract.
Well, that's awesome. We would love to have everyone check out the show. We would also love to actually go to one of the live shows once society pulls itself out of this tailspin that we're
all in. Yes, I know. I'm pissed. I mean, I'm going to need to, not to make this podcast about this, but like the venue that I had has like closed. It's really messed up, but it'll happen. It will happen.
Good.
Awesome.
Good.
Looking forward to that.
In the meantime, however, we're going to do this show first. And if, dear listeners, this is the first time that you are tuning into No Bad Ideas, this is the show where we scour the internet to find some really ill-advised, underbaked, just kind of bad ideas that people have had, bring them here, horrify our guests and co-hosts, and then we give ourselves just 10 minutes, just 10 very, very short minutes to try to find a way to turn these ideas into the pitch for a good story, a good film, a good novel, good radio show, whatever it is. Are you guys excited to jump into our first bad idea today?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. So this bad idea comes to us from one of the cornerstones of that great, great website, reddit.com.
Oh, boy.
Excellent.
Yikes.
From the...
One second, let me put my seatbelt on.
From the Am I the Asshole tag.
Magnificent.
Ye old faithful.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this subreddit. I know that, Sarah, you at least have kind of like brought a couple of things from it first into the show. But what I liked about this idea was that things in that subreddit that have been there for a little bit kind of get a tag on them. They either kind of get like, not an asshole, or you're the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
This one got the rare third tag that is everyone sucks.
Oh, I think I may know I may have an inkling of what you might be bringing, but yes.
That is hysterical.
Well, let's dive into this everyone sucks post. I'm not going to tell you what like the top headline is. Let's just dive into the
Please,
post itself
dive
and
in.
Then we'll come back to it. So the post reads, I am 31 and have an identical twin brother. For a while, I've told my wife that none of her family members notice me or care about anything I do on Christmas Eve, but they always insist on me attending. She told me that's not true. They genuinely like me and enjoy talking to me, but I know that the only times they've included me, I had to basically insert myself into the conversations, and it feels awkward and unnatural. So I set up a wager with my wife. Bring my twin brother Steve instead of me and see if anyone notices.
I purposefully
did not prep Steve on anything. He went in completely clueless. Although it is important to note, Steve did know why we were doing it and was game. I gave him $20.
That's what's shit. Most important. Wow. Steve should be compensated for his labor.
As I said,
my God.
Steve should negotiate his rate. That's a really low fee.
Yeah.
That's the family discount.
This is like a captive market. Like, there's no one that can do this except Steve.
I don't know what Steve's family is like, but I would charge a lot more money to do that.
To go to an in-law's Christmas dinner? Yes.
Wow. Yes.
As I suspected, Steve confirmed that he wasn't approached all night. Nobody could tell he wasn't me. And he admitted he even felt excluded, and he could only imagine how I felt.
Are you sure that it wasn't that they weren't sure if it was him? And so I don't know.
Unclear.
This could be like, you know, whatever it is. Prompting the jury.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this morning on Christmas, I invited Steve to join. Normally, he's with my mom and dad every year, as he's not married or in a relationship. They know about him, obviously, but didn't know about the switcheroo. That was when I revealed that last night I, quote unquote, was Steve and expressed disappointment that nobody noticed and said, this is why I stopped trying, since nobody talks
to
me.
Oh,
wow.
Tell them what you really think.
My wife drew the line here. She was hoping we would keep this bet between the two of us as a funny prank. But how can I expect her family to see what jerks they've been if I don't expose it?
Oh, no.
For what it's worth, Steve was fine. So with all of that, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, am I the asshole for replacing myself with my twin brother at my in-law's Christmas Eve party to see if anybody noticed?
Yeah, no, I was very firmly on one side until that like public shaming on Christmas morning.
Oh, no,
morning.
It takes a turn.
Yeah, everybody's terrible.
Everyone's
terrible. It's 2020, everyone sucks.
10 minutes on the clock starting now.
So I'm going to wait until we're done, but I think I need to call my dad, who is a twin brother, and see if he ever tried to pull any of this shit.
I have a few friends who are twins, and they do this shit. Like, this is, they love doing this shit.
Wow.
I mean, if you have the power,
sinister.
Right?
Yeah. I would do it, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, yes, I would.
I mean, yes.
I actually really like something that you said, though, Zach, which is like, seeing the story from the family's point of view and like not knowing, like there's a thriller in like your daughter shows up with her husband at your Christmas party and like something seems off about him and you kind of start thinking he's been replaced with another person. But like you can't quite prove it because you realize you don't know that much about this person.
But he looks awfully close. Like, we have the photo from last year on the mantle. Looks really, really similar.
Yeah, and, like, the fact that, like, us exists and is in the world, I don't know how viable this is as an idea, but, like, there is something to the, I think a person swap has happened, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, like, take it to kind of, like, the paranoid thriller kind of a place.
Right.
Cool.
There is also just a wonderful comedy of just everything that And like even maybe like more of a documentary feel of like everything crazy that twins get to do by swapping out for each other.
And the title of that movie is Everyone Sucks.
I love that. Everyone, of I love the concept of a movie that just leans into everyone being the asshole. Like, I feel it's so much of like writing a movie is like, oh well, our protagonist really needs to be relatable and likable.
Sympathetic.
We pitch our movie with everybody's a shithead,
and you keep going through this process of kind of like, boy, I really don't like this person. I'm like on the other team, and then like a little more happens. You're like, no, the other team sucks more. I think I'm back with the first person. And just by the end of it, it's just like, just burn them all down.
Just this alienate everyone. Yeah.
That would be pretty great to like have like a Christmas, like, and do like a Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, kind of like 3-day holiday scenario. But by the end of it, you hate this entire family and everyone deserves each other.
And I think it is important that you keep it at Christmas, sort of this time of unity and love and forgiveness. And it just goes very hard to the direction.
So this is at like, what type of family are we talking? I don't know why, but like in my head, I pictured this as like a super waspy, like Stepford Wife family.
Get Out family or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It really, really
hunting
sounds
trophies
like
on
that
the wall. And everything.
No, this is taking place in the same house as Knives Out.
Oh, nice. That's a good pull.
And those are also the kinds of families that, like, for whatever reason, like, really care about, like, no. Like, at 4:15 on Christmas Eve, we get together and we have, like, Christmas cookies. And it's very important that, like, you know, we do that.
And significant others are required.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And if the significant other needs to take like a phone call because his business is going under and he really needs to do something about it, that's like, ooh, like we're going to judge that pretty hard. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Sounds like you didn't deserve to run that business or, you know, some other terribly judgmental thing. Is there a world where I'm just thinking about how we can tweak it from the original, where like the twin swap isn't like, yo, bro, can I pay you to do this? It's more like, oh, bro, stop, you can't do this. Like the twin like inserts himself. It, like, you know, it's like a heist. Ooh. Like, I'm just like tired of hearing you complain about this. Like, I'm locking you in the basement and like, I'm going to show this family who's boss. And it's like, oh, fuck, like I'm not down.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of like this twin understanding like, his other twins like issues, like familial issues away. It's like, yo, I'm going to come in and I'm going to fix this stuff for you. I'm going to like improve your relationship with this family, whatever.
Right. I'm so tired of you hearing about how like alienated and awkward you feel around these people. I will fix that for you.
Right. And there's the world where he's the family therapist, and there's the world where he's like the most wanted criminal in America.
that's a little bit what I was going to say. I don't know if it's in the direction of you're so fucking judgmental all the time, bro. Like, I'm going to just kind of like be like actually nice and understanding for once. And you're going to see, like, you give a little and you get back a lot.
Right.
Or there's the version of it that is, these people don't fucking respect you because you don't stand up. The moment that Uncle Bob tries that shit that he always tries, I'm going to fucking rail into him and I'm just going to let him have it. And I'm going to like make myself, and by that I mean yourself, earn you that respect by kind of showing them, you know, the real animal that is inside of you or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
There's something pleasing about like starting nice and then this twin who thinks he can fix everything is corrupted by the end of it and becomes just as petty. But I also do like, I think it's maybe a more relatable motivation for like, yo, I'm going to go in there and I'm actually going to stand up for you.
Here's a question. Is the wife in on it?
Ooh, my husband's not stepping up. Call the brother. I think it's like time.
Maybe she's instigating.
I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I like that too.
Just kind of, you know, honey, we really need to talk about these Christmas dinners. Like for 5 years now, I've been telling you, you need to step up, and you keep not doing it. So this year, we're going to take drastic actions. Steve walks in. Like, so Steve is going to step up.
I like that. I like that.
It's like a heist movie where the loot is like fixing a marriage, I guess. Right. It's like a psychological heist, like an emotional heist.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, an
emotional heist. I love that.
And we could have like Steve fall in love with one of like the unmarried cousins at the
family
reunion.
Of course.
Of course. So suddenly like Steve is off with Bobby somewhere. What are they talking about? No one knows. That's weird. And there's this delicate balancing act of, oh no, now Steve wants to be part of the family in a different way.
Who is the one member of the family that recognizes Steve like instantly? Because there's always someone that like is immediately like, nope, I know what's going on and now I need to be appeased.
I feel like it's the angsty tween that's like,
oh, just
like,
it's
always what it is.
Glued to their like their Nintendo system. Whatever one is popular now.
They're making TikToks the entire time.
Yeah, right. And like insert the only, Gen Z thing here.
And they're the only ones that follow Steve on Twitter, where it was like, on my way to like my brother-in-law's house where I'm pretending to be him for the weekend. YOLO.
I like this because, and this isn't purely a business sense, like just to appeal to that demo when we release this like magnum opus of a movie, like we can have an entire storyline of the movie that's told entirely through this.
Right. We can build TikTok, an ARG around the tween.
Yes. And maybe this teen is like investigating this guy via TikTok, and there's like 100,000 like followers who are really invested in this story. That's very far left field to what we were talking about.
No, I like it though.
Love it.
How does this conclude? What happens at the end of the 3-day emotional heist?
Ooh, I mean, I think Steve has to be found out by the entire family.
Right, but not before all the family's dirty laundry gets aired and they have to reconcile the demons in each other's closets with one another.
Yeah.
And it happens at like the and stand up for himself.
Right. Absolutely. He has to learn to grow his own spine and not just be replaced by his brothers.
Right. Right.
And there can be sort of probably like a little bit of a farcical thing where like every Boxing Day Uncle Jim wants to go hunting and Steve's brother hates that. But now it's like, Steve, get out of the way. I'm going hunting with Uncle Jim. And it's like, no, you don't appreciate Jim. I'm going hunting with him. No, shut up. And they're like both fighting over who gets to do this horrible task that no one likes.
Right.
There's something creepy about it happening when they're hunting. I've never been hunting in my life, but like there's something creepy about that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I haven't either.
I am also a non-hunter, if anybody had any other estimation, unless gardening is a kind of hunting. I don't know.
You go to Zach's house and it's just like elk antlers for days. Yeah. That is not true at all. That is so completely not true. In the 15 seconds that are left, are we sticking with the Everyone Sucks title or is there a better one? Oh,
God. I think Family Sucks. A Christmas movie.
Family Sucks.
Family Sucks.
Excellent.
Wow.
Alrighty. Well, that is time on that idea. Well done, you guys. I really want to watch this movie now. I'm like, when is the story of Steve and his brother going to finally get told? This sounds great.
Ryan Johnson, get on it.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, we're going to take just a quick second to give you a quick message, and then we'll be right back with another bad idea.
Hey there, Zach Valenti jumping in really quickly with this brief message. Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself humbly invite you to check out www.unseen.show, where you can sign up to be one of the first human beings on planet Earth to get more information about our upcoming audio fiction program, Unseen. Once more, that's www.unseen.show. I can neither confirm nor deny there is an awesome link hidden in the question mark. All right, time to get back to No Bad Ideas.
right, we are back. We have all put calls in to our secret evil twins, set some stuff up. But I think we've taken care of that business, so we can jump into another bad idea.
I just want to clarify, like, for the record, I'm the evil twin in my set. I just want to make it clear.
Sure.
Did we ever know the not evil twin?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've met him once, but like, it's hard to tell.
What's the origin of evil twin? Like, that's such a trope. Like, the twin always has to be evil. What about the good twin? Maybe the first twin was the evil one.
I think it's probably based in our bias to think of ourselves as good. And so the twin has to be bad.
Right. Well, with that bit of philosophy, we can dispense with smart thoughts. So to something aggressively stupid.
Just swan dive into the dumpster.
Because I have an idea from the New York Post. And listeners, this will be in the episode description if you would like to follow along. And, you know, there's many themes that occur in this show, sort of ideas that people have that sort of come back again and again, scenarios or specific goals that people have.
Recurring motifs, if you will.
Yes, indeed. And it has been far too long since we've returned to one of our recurring motifs. So I'm here to bring us back. From the New York Post, I'll read the title because it gives the game away, but it is great, so I'll read it. Woman shouts, "I still love sharks," after being attacked by one.
I saw this.
Fuck yeah.
I saw this article, yeah.
Holy shit. I still love that.
She's tough as Jaws. A shark documentary filmmaker was bitten by one of the predators in Australia, but professed to reporters, quote, "I still love sharks," as she was taken away to a hospital on a stretcher for her injuries.
Wow.
"I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful," a smiling Annika Craney, I think that's how you pronounce her name.
How bad was this bite?
As she was wheeled into Cairns Hospital in Queensland following the attack, online video shows. Craney, 29, was gnawed on her lower left leg by a shark while swimming off the coast of Fitzroy Island near Cairns, Queensland, Tuesday afternoon, the Brisbane Times reported.
Australia. It is not known what...
I know. Nature's Thunderdome. it is not known what kind of shark attacked her. Quote, "There were doctors on the scene at Fitzroy Island and they provided first aid. She ended up with a possible fracture of the left lower ankle and some lacerations from the shark bite." So it doesn't sound super serious. Queensland Ambulance Service critical care flight paramedic Terry Cummings told the news outlet. Quote, "At the time she was relaxing and swimming on the island, she's actually doing a shark documentary and it's her day off today."
Cummings said. Man.
Craney was in Cairns as part of a 7-person crew filming a YouTube series, according to the Brisbane Times. Dean Kropp, the captain of the Barefoot 2, which is a great name, vessel on which Craney was listed as a deckhand, videographer and nurse, said Craney swam into the island with another crew member and was bitten on her left leg in about 16 feet of water. A Cairns-based... state government-owned rescue helicopter later flew Craney from the island to Cairns Hospital, where she was listed in stable condition, the news outlet reported. Quote, "She seems to be more worried about missing out on the adventure than the injuries," Kropp told the Brisbane Times.
Badass.
Of Craney. Quote, "While you hope it doesn't happen to you, you know it's part of the risk." So.
Hell yeah.
It's time for a shark story, guys. Tell me about a shark documentary person who gets bit by a shark. I will put 10 minutes on the timer.
I just have an absurdly specific idea that I need to get out. Okay. So first of all, I love this woman. I have nothing but respect for her. That's amazing.
Seriously.
Actually. So in my head, what I got is like, our protagonist is this woman who's like, she loves sharks. I think she literally is there making this documentary. Maybe she's embedded with some like marine biological researchers, whatever, but sure, she's trying to raise awareness for like the illicit like shark, dolphin, trade. Like, it makes me think of that documentary, The Cove, that was popping when I was in high school.
Totally.
And then big shark hunting, like Big Pharma, but big shark fin, like big shark fin soup, corporations. Oh, are after her, and maybe they, I don't know, they genetically engineer a shark to attack her,
of course,
or some
they do.
Type of coordinated thing. That's right. What I had.
Wow.
Right. The sharks that she knows would never hurt her, but these are different sharks, new sharks.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Either that, or it's like they somehow do shark mind control to turn one of her sharks against her, something like that, like even more evil.
That sounds like some terrible Dr. Evil shit.
It really does. Yeah.
I mean, the Russian government put GoPros on some dolphins so that they could spy on Scandinavian ports. I don't see why shark mind
control.
Whales
too, right?
Wow.
I think so, yeah.
Jeez.
We live in the future now. Anything is possible.
I guess. My God.
My initial contribution was so much less useful because I was just wondering if it was a small bite. Maybe it was a baby shark dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Abort.
I'm
leaving this podcast. I'm leaving this podcast.
Well, I'm glad that we finished No Bad Ideas strong. This has been a good series.
Oh, God.
We look forward to making our next show.
Yeah, no, we're done now.
No dad jokes.
Good night, folks.
And you said the name of the boat was Barefoot 2?
Barefoot 2 was the name of the vessel that she was on.
So we have possibilities for sequels built into the franchise already.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Barefoot 3, Barefoot Harder.
So is this like, is this woman like the Edward Snowden of sort of the shark fin industry? Is she like a whistleblower, or is she sort of like a Michael Moore type figure where like she's been making documentaries for years and like the corporate suits are just like out to get her?
Ooh. I kind of like to tie in with what you were saying, Sarah, about Russia attached to having spy dolphins, is maybe she finds herself embroiled in this like international like intrigue by stumbling across one of these like spy sharks or something.
Yeah. And I think that like there can be, you can, I think, have both of a dynamic. Something I'm thinking like The Insider, where there's kind of both the whistleblower who's been on the inside, but you're kind of really following the reporter that is making it all kind of come together and is kind of, you know, putting together the story.
Right.
And they are kind of the ones that they have to confront the sources and make sure that they go on the record and kind of, you know, offer protection against the person that has been working for Big Shark Fin, whatever the company is that does that.
Big Shark Fin.
Which I think like the company just has to be called that. It has to be like
it's really a subsidiary of Nambisco, but we don't like to talk about it.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
It's canon now.
I'm sorry, Nambisco. Please sponsor our show.
So yeah, but no, like I think that kind of the structure sort of builds itself a little bit of kind of, you start with sort of this person who is a popular marine biologist or something like that, some kind of like media figure. And they're sort of on this crusade to, you know, we have to save the sharks. They're getting exploited. They're getting, you know, like fished in all kinds of like illegal, horrible ways.
And it's all being exacerbated by climate change and sort of the dumping of plastic into the ocean and so on.
And kind of going like, you know, we get it. Jaws traumatized a generation. People don't like sharks. They're actually not that bad. This message gets lost when she is attacked by a shark.
Right.
And that completely, you know, like it's a fall from grace and people sort of like the opinion like really swings in the opposite direction. And maybe like a year later, a video producer for like a news organization is putting together a report on that. Okay. And that's when they get like the anonymous call that is like, there was more to that. That was arranged.
That story was never fully told. I like it. I like it. What happens then? Are we sort of following the news reporter trying to prove this woman's account? Or are we following her trying to clear her name, or a little bit of both?
It kind of depends on how cartoony you want to get, because there's a version of this that is like Michael Clayton. And it's kind of this like very serious like parable about like the dangers of going up against big business.
Yeah.
And then there's the one where there's the other version of it that's far more cartoony, where in order to silence her, the company keeps sicking sharks on her. And so they keep like having to find all these
like Jason Bourne, but with sharks.
Yeah. I like that. I like that option. That feels very like BoJack Horseman to me. It's like very cartoony, absolutely. But it has like no, a feels- point to it.
Are some of these sharks engineered with legs and thus land sharks?
Sure, why not? Like, I mean, like at this point,
that's a good third act twist because they think they're safe on the land.
And maybe there's this like shadowy figure
God.
Like keeps following them around that you don't get to see them until like an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. And then they take off their fedora.
It's a shark
and
man.
Underneath it is like, you know, this like, it's a shark man. Yeah. Oh.
I love that in this universe, a fedora adequately hides that you're a shark.
I mean, that's very BoJack Horseman.
Wide brim.
Yeah, no, it's like a big fedora. It's like a huge fedora.
Yeah, we could sell this to sci-fi in a second. I'm just saying.
Call us sci-fi.
Did they buy Sharknado? Because
I think they did.
Anybody that bought Sharknado wants to give us their money for this.
That's a sci-fi original movie. Absolutely.
That exec was definitely doing a lot of coke when they approved it.
How does this end, guys? What is the result? Does Big Shark Finn win? Or does the world learn the truth?
I think the world learns the truth. She wins the battle, but the war is continued to be fought in the franchise.
Yeah. Mm. Do we think she dies? Does she die in the process?
That's a good question.
My instinct would be that she doesn't die, but she can never swim with the sharks again. Like she's got like, whether it's like legal or like physiological, like there's something that's happened where it's like, there's no going back. So now like all you get is Shark Week. And it's like, at least the truth is out, but it's like a bittersweet victory.
That's sad.
And then we get Fedora Shark Man at the end being like, it's not over.
I was going to say, I know you were saying this as a joke at the top of this segment, but what if like, there's a C plot of like her relationship with her kid, and like she doesn't spend a lot of time with her kid because of her career, and then at the very end of the movie her kid is like, I want to watch this, and she turns on the TV and it's just Baby Shark, and she's just sitting there knowing she can never be with her shark
again. You made it sad, and I love it.
We fade to black as like Baby Shark becomes this like sinister
this heartbreaking moment of loss and grief.
So it proves the truth about Baby Shark.
Yeah.
That's the goal of the entire film.
I have one more scene that I think needs to be a part of this.
Okay.
Please.
Where at some point, for whatever reason, maybe like this video producer is talking on the steps of Congress with this congressman that is trying to get this bill passed in order to make the exploitation of sharks illegal. And at a certain moment, their aide comes over and the congressman sort of just like turns to them and kind of goes like, so do we get it? Like, do we pass the bill? Like, is it law? And the aide just kind of like shakes their head and is like, sorry, congressman, I'm afraid we're going to need a bigger vote.
Hey.
God damn. It's my kind of joke.
You have 34 seconds right now. What's this called?
Let's see. I still love sharks.
The truth bites.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
Or bite of truth or something like that.
I like the truth bites.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what we're going with. That's one beat.
Well, that is just about time. So well done.
Whew.
This was not the flavor of thriller that I was expecting out of this idea, but I am so pleased at where this went.
I am thrilled.
I like that the premise of this podcast is we're supposed to take ridiculous ideas and make them less ridiculous, but we blew that up to the most ridiculous possible premise.
No. I think that like the only thing that needs to happen with the ideas is that they're made more compelling. That often happens by making them less ridiculous, but there isn't a thing of supersizing your burger.
Word.
Amazing. Well, Adrians, thanks so much for joining us. This was a blast. And everybody listening, thank you for listening. And make sure to tune in on Thursday for more No Bad Ideas with Adrian. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org.
You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.